So obviously, like I said, Pastor Mark is gone this weekend. He'll be gone next weekend as well. And so I'm going to bring the message today. Just a reminder to everybody, I am the junior varsity. So I know Mark lets a lot of people interrupt. I'd appreciate it if you didn't. I absolutely accept questions in the end. So unless we want to be here till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, I don't want to get off track. So anyway, so I've been thinking a lot about this for a while, and it's been on my mind quite a bit, is change. And actually, the slide they were going to put up was the easy button. You know, how change is so easy. We just press the button. Are you able to change? Do you want to change? Do you like change? Change is the one constant in life. We're constantly changing. We go from infants to toddlers to preschool to kindergarten, grade school, middle school, high school. And then some of us go off to college, some of us straight to a job. Then we go from being single to being married, having kids. Different jobs, different cities, different responsibilities. Constant change. And some things we're willing to put up with and even happily do. One of the things that Kim and I have done is we've been always been happy to move to another place. To me, it's excitement. It's the excitement of starting over, doing that. And some people just hate that. I love it. On February 16th, 2002, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Change was happening on a grand scale. I had no idea what kind or what it was going to look like, but it was going to happen. Almost immediately, it was my language, and I knew it was bad. I knew it was not right. It was one of those things that I had tried to fix before and couldn't. And I just threw up my hands and I said, God, if something happens, I'm going to say something. I said, so you're going to have to give me something to say. And he did. As far as wants, I had a great job. I was working aviation electronics and F-15s for the Oregon Air National Guard. And very underworked, severely overpaid position. And I wanted Kim to work as well along with me. I wanted a bigger house. I wanted a bigger car. I wanted a boat. I wanted a house right on the Columbia River. You name it. And finally, one day, I just prayed. I said, listen, God, I can't see myself not wanting these things. You are going to have to do something here because I can't do it on my own. Now, how does that sound for a prayer? This is just me and my ignorance saying it, but it was complete truth. That's what he wanted. He wanted me to just give up control. Music. I've mentioned before, I'm big on music. I've always got a song playing in my head. And if I'm in my truck and it's on the radio, I'm singing it. And I'll just tell you, I'm the best truck singer there is. But later on, I was going down the road, and I was always listening to, like, 90s country. Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn. Oh, a bunch of others. I can't remember them all. Anyway, I started really listening to the words I was singing. And I started thinking, what am I saying? What do these words mean? And I felt really convicted. And it was a big deal, but I shut the radio off. Never turned it on for another 30 days. I said, something's got to change here. And finally, God introduced me to Third Day. Amen to Third Day. Love them. I actually got to see Third Day opened up for Michael W. Smith in downtown Portland. So it was good. It's change. It was a good change. There's no way I could have made that change on my own. Greed was another one. I mentioned my wants, but another one was tithing. And we had been going, we'd been a part of the Lutheran Church our whole lives. And when I say a part, I mean a part of church. And Kim every year would say, you know, I think we need to up our tithe. Every year I'd say, what for? We're giving enough of our money to the church. We don't need any more of our money. Well, during that whole time, this is about a year after I had given up my life. And I really felt convicted. And I came to Kim and I'm just like, Kim, I said, what are we giving? What percentage are we giving right now? She said, I think it was somewhere around 5 to 6%. And I just looked at her and I said, I think we need to be given the full percent, 10%. And she looked back at me like, who are you? It was change. So, what about you? Are you open to change? And what does it mean to be open to change? So change can be very hard. Openness to change refers to an individual's level of acceptance and continuous awareness of the possibility that change may be needed across a range of situations or scenarios, together with an appetite or drive to enact that change. So what change are you open to? Maybe change in diet, change in exercise, change in a job, change in responsibility, change in where you live. And what changes are the hardest? It's those things that we've done the longest, and we've done them the same way. We've thought the same way. We've had ideas that have been the same, views that have been the same. What happens when we don't change? What can be some things? First of all, we hurt ourselves in many ways. In our job, because we don't want to keep up with the new things coming. Well, that's the way we've always done it. I don't want to change. This is what I do, and I'm guilty. I am guilty of that. In relationships, because we want to make ourselves first. We want to be understood first, then to understand. I've worked with guys in my industry. I'm in construction. I've worked with a ton of guys that the only thing that matters is their job. Their job is the only job. And if you don't show up to their job, then they're going to either one, badmouth you, or two, they will fire you. They'll hold, I experience this a lot, they will hold money over their subs' heads just so they'll do something extra. And they're constantly complaining, and they don't want to change. That really bugs me. I'm really more about the relationship with my subs than I am about them doing everything that I want in the time frame that I want. Why is it that most change is hard? Well, we've been doing things a certain way our whole lives, and we don't want to change them. We have to think differently. We don't get to think the same way we've been thinking our whole lives. We have to change the way we do things. We have to change this. We have to change that. I don't want to change. Nobody wants to change. This is the way I've been doing it, and it's right, and I don't want to change that. Pride steps in and says that we are not wrong. But yet, we may have to come back and stand before our peers and say, you know what, I was wrong. I've had to do that. That easy? Anybody else had to do that before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Biggest example I can state with this is Paul. He's known as Saul at the time. Acts 9:1-7, his road to Damascus. This guy's walking along. And God just, he gives him a spiritual spanking, is what he gives him, literally. Stops him, says, listen, what are you doing? I'm paraphrasing here. This is Jeff Bergen. What are you doing? You're persecuting me. And then he blinded him. 3 days. He had no sight, he didn't eat, and he didn't drink. 3 days alone with his thoughts. 3 days alone. I don't know if you guys are, I'm not an alone person. I'm really a people person. I like being around people. So when I'm alone, I'm alone with my thoughts, and it's just me, and I start going crazy. And I'm sure he was too.
I can imagine 3 days alone, but 3 days alone, all of a sudden blind?
Yep, exactly. He had a little pain. Sometimes it takes a little pain before we'll change. Yeah. Can you imagine that all you've been taught your whole life, your education, the way you were brought up, your job, all of your peers, and now you've just been told it's all wrong. You got it all wrong. What do you do? Here's the question of the day. So if you write down anything, here's the thing to write down. What do you do when God's word goes against your views, your ideas, or your thoughts on things? What do you do? Let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2. So if you'll turn to your Bibles real quick, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I kind of put, it's really just two, but I kind of put 1 and 2 together. I just like I've always liked those two verses. I'll give you a second here to get to it. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. Change. A living sacrifice. What are we sacrificing? Our ideas. Our thoughts. So with that in mind, I'll say the question again. What do you do when God's word does not go with or goes against your thoughts and ideas and views? Now what? Did you buy into the lie that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that everything was going to be great? That you were just going to get the life you wanted? Did you think that God was just going to leave you where you're at? That you're not supposed to change? Both physically and spiritually. It's both. For some of us, we're married. Some of us have been in relationships, so it's the same thing. When we entered into that marriage or that relationship, we brought all this baggage with us. Our ideas, our thoughts, our views on things, how to do things, and all our baggage. And some of these examples of these things, one of them is very important, and it's where and how do you squeeze the toothpaste? And let me just tell you, so just everybody knows, it's always from the end, and it's always about a third of a thumbnail onto your toothbrush, okay? Another, and this is big in my house, I get teased for this, is there is only one way to make mac and cheese, okay? There is a process, and I'll tell you, just ask me, and there's only one right way to do it.
Get the prepackaged kind.
There you go. So the same is true for your relationship with God. You enter a relationship with God bringing all your beliefs and all your baggage with you, all your ideas. Your heart was changed, and you believed who God was. That Jesus died for your sins, and there was more than enough grace and mercy to forgive even you. When we decide to follow Jesus, change is required. Why is that? We can continue living the same way, after, but guaranteed it ain't gonna work. So this message really comes, So this really comes down to this and where is it? So, I'm sorry. The message really comes down to this. Where is it that you get all of your beliefs, views, and ideas from in life, across life? Where are you getting it from now? What are you pouring into your brain right now? Where is it that you spend the most of your time? People Magazine?
Facebook?
The Inquirer? The media? No, we need to be so deep in God's Word that when something new comes up, and they do, we're able to at least have a good guess as to which way God's going to lean on something. We should be able to see that. Granted, there are some things, you know, that are, you know, you want to go in, you want to search it out, you want to see about it, you want to look into it. But our beliefs, views, and ideas should be changed by God's Word, not us changing God to fit our worldview. We don't go to the Word looking to prove our point. We go to get our minds straight. We go there to make sure that we are not straying from God. We are here as a church body to edify each other, build each other up, even discipline each other. I don't know if that's the first time some of you heard that one, but we're even here to discipline each other and let God's Word change us. Coming back to Romans 12:2, a renewing of your mind. So in those first days, weeks, months, and even a couple of years, it was all good. And so this is after you've been changed, you've accepted Jesus Christ. It was all good because you had this changed life. That was the easy part. Now we have come off that high of that initial change and things come hard. For some of us, our old self starts to creep back in. Some of those old beliefs and ideas where we read God's Word and it goes against some beliefs. Or we have friends and relatives who are going through something that they have made a good point about whatever it is, like homosexuality, abortion, across the board. You name it. Do we stand on God's Word? Is it still right and just? Or do we go with the crowd and what feels good? Here's a warning. God's Word has nothing to, not one thing nor the other to do with your feelings. God's Word shows us how much He cares for us, wants us, and how He sees us as His children. And He only wants the best for us, whether we like it or not. Have you ever tried to go against God's Word? Go against God on something that you knew He was in, you knew how it was right, and you went ahead with it anyway? How'd that work out? Why do we need to be in God's Word? It's simple. It's really required. We can't continue on with our lives, especially not in times like now, where we've got devices like this everywhere. It's constantly, it's in our face. I'm no different than everybody else. You know, my work is tied to that thing. We get in there, and if I freely admit I'm off Facebook for the most part. I get out maybe once a week because here's what will happen: I will head home, and Facebook has got that thing where they track you, and they know, they got the feed going, they know what you look at, they know where you stop at. I just sit there and I roll through these little video clips, you know. And they're funny, you know. Some of them are good. Eh, whatevs. But next thing I know, I look up and it's 3 hours later. 3 hours. 3 hours of my life gone. For what? And then on top of the fact that all that did was just put junk into there. What do they say in computers? You put junk in, you get junk out. Well, guess what happens here? We put junk in, what comes out? Junk. If we don't stay in the Word, where are we getting our ideas and how should and how things should be? The Word is a constant reminder, and we need a reminder constantly. Keeps things right in front of us so we don't waver or decide to change our mind saying that we know better. Because we don't. The renewing of our mind. Now flipping over to, let's flip over to 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. So I'll just read, I'll read 15 real quick and then I'll go on from there. So 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How can we rightly divide that word of truth? Just by looking at it every once in a while? Just by I know of people who only read the red letters in the gospel. Can we do it by just that? No. We need to be constantly looking for truth, knowing that we may be wrong about something. Whatever it is. Because if we don't, guess what can happen? I'll read on. So, starting with 16, it says, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." That means our ideas, when we throw them in, our ideas could take and stray somebody else. You want to be guilty of that? I don't. We've got to be in that word. We have to be careful what we say to other believers. We need to know that we know. We don't sit there and alienate ourselves from everybody. We need to be together. It's good to go. In fact, it's great to go be by yourself, read the word, get into it. Scripture interprets scripture. But we can't stay there. We've got to take those ideas. Oh, I think God's saying this here. Take that idea to somebody else at the church, somebody you respect, or a pastor, or elder, I don't care who it is. Take it to them. Hey, you know, what do you think of that? I mean, this is what I think. What do you think of that? We can't just take our own ideas. We're not an island. Oh, we stay in the word, scripture, interpret scripture, and we don't just want to shove things down others' throats either. I mean, yeah, we may be right. We want that person, we want other people to know that, you know, they can come to us. That this isn't something that, that you know, they when we go to them, they're just going to shove their opinion down our throat. They're going to say, okay, well, I understand where you're coming from there, but what about this, this, and this? So change. Are you willing to? What are you going to do next time when God's word goes against something that you're doing, something that you're thinking, some of your views? Where are we getting our worldview from? We've got to be getting it from God's word, and you need to be willing to change. Because if you're not, it ain't going to be good. That's all I got to say about that.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so kind of quick today. I don't know how long that was. I guess we'll find out here in a second. So let's gather around and we'll get CC to come.